Zachary, you had some comments, looks like, on the Ramban, on Mishpat Achirim. Is that right?
I took another look at it today with Noah and check out the parallel comments in his discussion on the Torah on the Pasuk there.
Yeah, so what do you have for us?
Yeah, there's actually just kind of a minor quibble first. There's always a great place to start on the Mishpat Achirim. So in the little third paragraph there, which seems to have the very exciting line of the Beis Din Shu B'Makom Tzibur. So I think yesterday, if I recall correctly, we were reading it as like bimkom, like tachas, like in place of. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right.
Looking back on that, I think that's not quite what he's saying. I think he's trying to say like what scale of a community has the power to even enact such a thing. And he's talking about, you need a chefta shel tzibur. If you have less than 10 people just in an area, they're not considered a tzibur. They're only a bunch of yechidim that can take shvuas themselves. Since they're not a tzibur, nor are they a based in that's in the makom in the sense of location. Like they're not in the location of a tzibur, and it's not really commenting on the source of power necessarily.
So it's like a Google Maps point. They're not like in the locale of a tzibur. Is that the idea? What's the chashivas of your Google Maps coordinates?
As in, you can have a based in that you can take your dini mamonos to any day of the week, but if they're not associated with a particular tzibor, then that's not in their jurisdiction. Or, you know, as in if you have 7 people, 3 of them happen to be dayanim, they can't just start making charimim.
Okay, why is that? Zacharia?
I was saying, it's this idea seems to reference, which actually is like kind of hard to find where it's sourced from, Ein Chayim is Kayim B'Pachus B'Asara.
And so my view is that's because it's not just, as you say, right? It's not just that you could have a bezdin of 3, 7 Talmidei Chachamim, right, who get together and make all the proclamations in the world. But if they don't represent some tzibur, then they're impotent, right? So I think the if anything, even if you're right that this is like a geographical thing, which I'm not sure about, the reason why the geographical thing is significant is because that's the bezdin of the tzibur, right?
Yeah, fair enough. I hear that. I think either way, the Ramban is clearly distinguishing between two different kinds. The Beis Din gains more powers in a different context.
Yeah. So I would say not just that it gains more powers, but this power of being machrim is a koach tzibur. And so the way a Beis Din gets it is through it being the Beis Din shel tzibur. So I don't think it's so much about the word bimakom.
Mm-hmm.
Geography versus in representation of, right, or in the place of, or as the trustees of. I think the underlying point is still the same, that it's the koach tzibur that is what gives the koach machrim is a koach tzibur, right? That's what I said. But what were other haros on the
other points? So these actually came up in the Ramban al Torah. Right, on the pasuk. So we noted how in this one, the few points you mentioned that number one, it seems kind of suspect that he's learning from these rather questionable cases in Tanakh as the source that, clearly we see that there's a power on the Klal Yisrael level to make a chayim that's enforceable with the death penalty.
So, I don't think it's suspect. Where else should we learn from if not from Tanakh?
Well, are we going to learn from Acha? Who are we going to learn from? You know, it's like,
there's no indication in Tanakh that these were illegitimate uses of power, right? In all these cases. So if you go back in the case of Achan.
Well, that's fine. I was saying specifically the Shoftim example. I think Hain brought up that there might be problematic.
You're saying the Pilegesh Bagiva case with the Anshe Yavish Gilad?
Yeah, over there.
Maybe it was an illegitimate use of power when they put people to death for not participating in the anti-Binyamin campaign.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Ramban himself feels the need to justify it in his Pirshah Torah. So,
you want me to pull up the Pirshah Torah and add it here?
Sure. I mean, I just kind of sent some of it into the chat that was relevant. Let's see.
I think this is a really cool Ramban just because, you know, he's just like doing so much, like it's really mechudash, and he does this on his own, right?
Yeah. He also like kind of gets a little distracted by just like perish of the parak about Yiftach, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I posted this in the chat here, so you can. I posted it, sorry, on the Makor sheet now. Mm-hmm. But do you want to draw our attention to a specific
part? Yeah. So in the section of in the Alder Chapshat, he gives his explanation that's talking about a communal cherem. And then in the paragraph following, he says, "Amatzinu ba'anshe yavish Gilad," and he quotes the pasuk. And you know, at the end of that second line, there,
notice again, it's the Shavuos HaKahal, right? Not the Melech or Nasi,
right? So he says, "Ve'ein svar no senes she'asu kol ha'eda ra'a kazos hamis anashim rabim Yisrael she'enam chayav misa." He says, "It's unreasonable to believe that there were some that like." Loitachin, that in Jewish history, such a thing could have happened. And the second reason that Pinchas was also involved. And, you know, Pinchas is always cool-headed, reasoned, measured in his decisions to execute swift justice, you know. So, like, you know,
right.
We can trust him that he did the right thing. So I think, like, the fact he has to address this kind of does somewhat validate the question.
Yeah, it does. But you feel like the Ramban is saying Loitachin that they would have done, right? A wrong, or that it wouldn't, that like the psukim wouldn't indicate a wrong.
Sure.
Interesting. Yeah. You're right. He does seem a little defensive that, or he's forfending against that argument.
Yeah. Another, a much bigger one point, I think actually consequential, was in the Mishmar Achirim, he seemed very apologetic about his approach to learning this from this pasuk. He said like, oh, bakash mechila, and okay, even though Chazal darshan it this way, don't worry, like I'm in mikri yotzi b'di pshuto. Here, he's just kind of pretending there's a pretty conventional view.
This gets back to our Chaim Soloveitchik analysis.
Yeah, as in, so first he says it's al derech hapshat, which is...
You know, by the way, people think that the Perash HaTorah was written much later. This is like
That's interesting. Right, because you might think, like, even though
Contra Cole, right? Cole thought that people become more tentative in their old age.
Just saying it's a possibility. Sometimes they become crankier.
So I definitely fall into the latter category.
I see no discernible changes in you one way or the other. Like the Rambam, you're absolutely Lishitascha.
In any event, yeah, in the last paragraph of the Ramban here, he talks about how it's like, oh yeah, it must be such, must kind of like a lav shebeklalos. Where is that? Uldasar vasinuzal, that one, yeah. Yitachin shiach kasuv hazeh kol odvan rabim, kamo lo tokla ladam. It's like Lotok Aldam. He brings the same example he gave before of Lo Yamusu Avos HaBanim. Just, oh, they darshan it for Krovei Eidos, but we see in Tanakh it's used Kipshuto. So, V'chein Zeh Yichlol Din Hamareth Mechuvei Misa Din Misha Machrimim Oso Be'ez HaKibosh K'mo Shamarnu Va'Overal Chirim Shal Be'ez HaNagadol. So he brings like the two ones that like Chazal mentioned that, oh, of course it includes those two things, so you know, it also includes mine, you know? It's like,
Right. Yeah, instead of going for the Ana Mikra Yotzim de Pshuto, he goes for this more, you know, he doesn't use the Ana Mikra Yotzim de Pshuto, but he does say, yeah, it could also include this thing, right? So there are several Isurim or several principles that come out of this concept.
Right, as in he treats it much more kind of like a Dover Pasha, like, oh, Chazal already mentioned a handful of things, and this is just one more, but a natural inclusion.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think the consequence of this is massive, is that once, now you have this idea of this pasuk in the Torah telling you that an arbitrary cherem, right, like some of the harem here are pretty arbitrary, like the shovels, for example. Oh, you have to fast. Okay. Arbitrary haramim have legal binding to the extent of establishing the chi of misa. So now, I guess, like, the question is how far, so that's a doraisa, according to Ramban. So how far does that extend down to more local takanos? Does it? Is it the same thing? When we say, like, oh, like, the people of Klutsk make a cherem that you shouldn't, like, pluck your chickens outside because the feathers are getting everywhere. When we say that's a cherem, is that even like the same word as like the cherem of Yoshua? Like,
Interesting.
Not sure.
So I would say two things. I would say, first of all, number one, I think you're totally right that the Ramban does think this is right. Din d'oraisa, koach d'oraisa, from kol cheirem, asher yachram, ladam lo yichdem mos yimas. Right, so it's kind of authority, power granted min haTorah. I see no reason. I think you're also right that doesn't seem to be limited to Melech or Nasi or Sanhedrin Agadol, even though the Ramban does pick out those buzzwords in a few places, but he also has those broader phrases of Yisrael, he says Kol Masha Eskimo Lav HaKol, Chin Yisrael, right? So it sounds, you know, some significant body, over here he says the idea of a tzibor, right? That was at the beginning. In Mishpat Acherem. Let's see.
Yeah, we're in the third line there.
Yeah. Right, he says you need a tzibor. I think, yeah, it would apply to whatever the right way to individuate chalos tzibors is in Klal Yisrael, right? Whether that's a centralized institution or whether it's local kehilos also, I think that concept of cherem would apply, right? Whoever has the koach of Rashai B'nei Ha'ir, Ramban seems to merge the two concepts, would have the koach de'machram. The third point I would make is, and I think this is the response to your point, is that it's not the case that every cheirem brings with it a onesh misa. The Ramban's point is that part of your koach to be machrim is that you could be machrim with an onesh misa if you want. So of course, right, you could, the klutzkers can make a takana about the feathers and say the penalty is $5, and or the penalty is you lose the feathers. And that's all consistent with being machrim. What the Ramban's interested in, and that we know from the Gemara in Bava Basra, Rosh Hashanah B'nei Ha'ir. But as you pointed out, it's not such a chiddush to say hefker bezen hefker. The real chiddush is to say that this legal authority extends beyond mamonis to impose an onesh misa. And that's what you get from the Ramban's sourcing it in kol cheirem asher yachram, shelo yifta v'chulei lo mos yimas. That's what's so surprising. This is really a fundamental political philosophy. You know, you want to know, does a state have the power to impose a death penalty, right? So if you just lean on hefker bez and hefker powers, then the answer is no, right? It's just dine mominis. They could penalize you. They could expropriate your resources and material goods. They have certain eminent domain powers. But once you go into Ramban camp, you see that, Ro, Rashaan bin Eir, this is serious business, right? Things that we would otherwise just associate with Mishpat HaMelech, they have the koach to make haramim with onesh misa, as you see in these cases. So, yeah, I don't think the fact that they can do it undermines the Ramban's analysis because it would be at their discretion.
Yeah, I think it's much more meduak, best impression I get from the Mishpat Acherem, which he's starting with more communal charamim, and then he says, oh, the imhach in the second line of that paragraph, imachirim also, imhechrim also achirim, melch Yisrael, o sanhedrim, amador Yisrael. Okay, as a consequence of that, you can access this other punishment, but it's still in the same class of charamim.
Yeah, right. And you don't get that impression from the Parashat Torah, or you do?
I'm not sure. As in, he's starting. He doesn't bring it down to that level. It just doesn't address the communal scale, so it's hard to tell.
Got it. Yeah, it's really fascinating. Really fascinating, Ramban. Good. You know, I think this might help us also with the, you know, what we left off with last time, the Nishba Shelo L'Kayim Takanas HaTzibur. So we saw both in the Mordechai and in the Chumash HaDeshen that they think if somebody takes a shvua not to be bound by the Takanas HaTzibur, that's considered Nishba Levatel Samitzvah, because you're considered it's Mushbab Omid Mehar Sinai, right, on all the mitzvos. So you can see again in the Mordechai, just to jog your memory, he says, you're Misha Nishba Lavor al Derech HaTzibur, Nishba Lashav. Shari Nishba Levatel HaMitzvah, he lost her Mechuke HaMitzvah. Omidavar Zeh, Mushbab Omid Mehar Sinai. So if you take the Ramban, that it's part of the Torah's din of Kol Cheirem Asher Yechram, then it's pretty clear why you're Moshe Rabbeinu Mehar Sinai, right? The Torah already grants the Tzibor that koach. Yeah. Same for the Chumash Hadesh and Siman Reish Pei Aleph. Hanishba shelo yikanes takanas hakol chashiv shvu hashav kimo nishba shelo lechol matzah shelo leishiv basuka amatakanas hakol namida raisi. So I suppose you could also just source it in hefker bezin hefker. Maybe that would be sufficient to generate this idea of Mojave Mirar Sinai. But I think the Ramban's Makar itself might be sufficient. The Ramban's Makar would also be good, where he says part of the Koach HaTzibur of Kol Chir Masher Yechram. I want to point out something more. So I'm just going to close the door here. Anybody have thoughts on just the Mojave Omeid components of what we left off last time? Is it obvious to you that Koach HaTzibur should be Mujrabo Mimer Sinai, or is it a Chiddush? Do you think that Rashon B'nei Ha'ir, even in conjunction with Hefker Bezin Hefker or the Ramban's Kol Chayram Asher Yechram, should be sufficient to generate the Mujrabo Mimer Sinai principle? What do you think? Meaning, put it in different terms. Here we appeal to our old friend Hofeld. I'm going to reassign Hofeld for the Chilas Poalim stuff, because it's actually really crucial. So what is Mujbav Omen Mehar Sinai? In the Lulav and Sukkah case, it's pretty clear. I have a duty, right? I have a Hofeldian duty to shake Lulav and to shake Eth and to take to sit in the Sukkah. So the idea is that I can't take a shvua to undercut that duty. Nishba shelo leishe basuka shelo lita lulav is a shvua shav because mujba bo imer sinai. What if I just have a Hofeldian liability to be subject to the power of the tzibur? Right? So it's not like there is no duty that the tzibur has imposed on me yet. It's just a halachic power that the tzibur have. New duties. Is that power something that's considered mujba b'omen mehar Sinai to block my shvua? Cole, did you want to comment on this?
Yeah.
It's a question,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, I think probably not. It's probably not. Well, yeah, I guess I wouldn't put it this way. I wouldn't put it the way you just put it. So there's a...
Cole, you want to just explain for the new Chevra what the Hofeldian power is versus the Hofeldian duty?
I mean, yeah, I just don't think it's helpful in this case. So think of a Hofeldian, so just a duty is something that you got to do. A right, which is the corollary, is...
Right, so if you have a duty, again, if you have a duty owed to me, then I have a right against you. Right.
In most cases, yeah, basically, yeah.
And then a power is different. A power is the ability
to change the situation of, to change right. The distribution of rights and of rights and duties.
Right.
So I guess what Itamar is saying is maybe you don't have any obligation to do X, whatever it is, but you are, and then... Itamar, how did you want to use liability? And how you wanted to say that, but you are, you have no protection against the tzibor punishing you.
Yeah, you're subject for imposing duties on you. So the question is, is it that I have a duty to listen to the tzibor? Right, like I was leaning towards in the end of last Kabura, this is like a kind of lo sasser, lo yasser min adavra, ashe yagidu chayam inu small. So there's a duty to listen to whatever the tzibor tells you to do. Or is the idea that you have a liability, which is the correlate of someone having a power, to be subject to the duties that they impose on you when they impose them on you?
I don't think those are different things.
Having a duty to listen to the tzibor. And being
having a duty to listen to the tzibor means that when the, I mean, it's confusing the way you phrased it, because the, in the duties case, it's static, in the liabilities case, it's dynamic. In both cases, you have to do it the tzibor. So, I mean, there's a, I mean, the liability, putting it in terms of liability makes it kind of, is I think is a bit redundant, because there the idea would be when the tzibor changes what it wants you to do, you would have to obey.
My question, Cole, is where would you derive general duty to listen to the tzibor?
So I think, right. So I, the way I would put it is this way. Let me ask you, if this is more congenial, is I would actually put it in terms of representation. So is the idea that the, you've sort of, remitted some of your autonomy to the, pre Matan Torah, whatever it is, everybody had, you know, in theory, a right to do as they chose. And then this entity called Klal Yisrael, like the individuals in it said Nasa V'Nishma, and then the Rabbi Nishalem decided, you know, set a bunch of, you know, basically legislated, and then deputized kind of the Chachmei Ador or whoever, or the Klal or the Kehillah as a whole, to exercise the sovereign, this is sort of his sovereignty that had been given him by the Kehillah on his behalf. Okay, so that's one. And there you have, so the principle there, I know that was a lot of steps, but the principle there is that, like, original sovereignty is maintained by the people. This is, and you know, God or the tzibor on behalf of God, on behalf of the people, ultimately derive their powers from representing the governed or something like that. There's another view. So that's one view. That was kind of the Hobbes view that I had alluded to in the previous year. There's another view though, which is just that, which is just to say that it's not a matter of representing us in the sense of, you know, derive in the sense of, like, you know, having access to some original sovereignty that we possess. There just is this power in virtue of chachma or in virtue of something else, some authoritarian principle, basically, that gives the Kehillah or God a right to dictate what people do. Those I think are the two models. Which of those do I think is correct? I think it's pretty clear the Ramban is going with the first. If you're saying Mushba Ba'omed, the idea there is you took a shua or something like that.
Where are you Mushba to listen to Takanas at Tzibor?
I assume it's part of Lo Sasur.
Okay. That's a very interesting view, right? So then it's more than just, see, I think Lo Sasur is clearly a duty. You have a duty to listen what the Chachamim say. And of course, you're saying that also it's the Chacham as the representatives of the Tzibor or something. Then it would apply to Rashan Bnei Yer Lasiyah Kitzasan also.
Right? And the Rashba wants to say that the whole, go ahead, sorry.
1 second. I think Kol Chirim Asher Yechram and even Hefker Bezen Hefker is slightly different, right? You wouldn't be able to unpack a general duty to listen to the Chachamim or to the Tzibor there. All you have is a liability to be subject to the rules, right? That their penalties and Charamim are valid to create new duties on you, right? You wouldn't get a general obligation to listen to the Tzibor on those fronts.
Yeah, I think the last thing you said is on this authoritarian model, where just, like, you know, that's where the buck stops, right? The buck stops at the fact that the Chachamim are the Chachamim, or the Kehillah is the Kehillah, or that, you know, God is God. But there isn't a further fact about your having been, about your having consented, not individually, but probably, like, virtually, as a member of, you know, an entity that exists across time, to be subject to this.
I'm less interested in the consent issue and more in is there just this general antecedent mitzvah to obey the word of the tzibur? Gabe, I think Gabe is not going to like the idea that lo sasur will apply to the tzibur, right? Gabe, you're makes you uneasy.
Say more about what I think.
Doesn't it make you uneasy to think that lo sasur would apply to the tzibur itself, that you're bound, you know, under the theory of lo sasur to what the kahal is talking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to accept your general thesis that kof leizdin is equivalent to kof tzibur, at least according to these two pieces, the Church of Deshen. But yeah, that wouldn't have been my instinct. I hear the argument, but I definitely wouldn't have arrived at this on my own.
Yeah. I think that's
but it seems the idea of a shavua, right? The idea of a shavua is, I mean, that's the thing about mushba. So in Maseches Shavuos,
I think we're better holding off that. I think mushba omeis right. Means that you have this antecedent commitment.
Well, right? I mean, so that's
not about, it's not about like the original jurisdiction that you accepted it, right? It's about the antecedent duty.
No, I'm not sure that. Well, I don't know if I agree with you. I mean, the evidence, like, Mushbaba Omeid actually has when that phrase is used in Shas, it's talking about like it's talking about the fact that like it's not just you have an antecedent commitment that was like either imposed on you or that you took upon yourself. The idea is that you want to promise to do X. Well, you've already promised to do not X. Like your will is bound.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting question if you're in trying to parse out what exactly Mushbaba Omeid is. But I'm more interested in the fact that the content of what you're considered to have been Mushbaba Omeid in is a duty to listen to the tzibur. And I'm wondering where's okay. From, right? It's hard to get that out of Kol Cheir Mashu Yechram, because that's just a conferring of the power on the tzibur, which means you have a liability to be subject to the tzibur's rules, not a necessary general duty to listen to the koach tzibur. Whereas lo yasur, lo sasur, then it's easier to extract the basic duty to listen to the tzibur, though the trade-off, as Gabe points out, is that it seems like a chiddush to apply something like that to just the koach tzibur, right?
I think it's a consensus. I think it's more or less a consensus view that, like, I don't know anybody who contradicts it, that whatever the answer to the question you just asked is, the, like, I think the, there's more or less a consensus that there was some exercise of popular sovereignty at Mamad Har Sinai. I think that's just going to preempt.
I just don't see it's a bit of a distraction though for what we're trying to get at, no?
Why?
Unless you think that itself is a kind of koach tzibur, is that what you're trying to?
Well, whatever koach tzibur is, okay, it comes from God. I mean, immediately it comes from God. Okay, I mean, in the same way that every mitzvah comes from God. So the question is, like, well, where does God get the power to make these to make these rule? I don't like the way, I guess what I'm saying, I don't like the way you're approaching it. So like the two arguments are like either God, because just God, or maybe there's a further fact about how, you know, people have this original control over themselves that, and, you know, it's unjust to rule people or groups without their consent, that, you know, God
anybody, is anybody part. Following Cole's direction here?
Itamar, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, I think I'm a little confused. Like,
all right, never mind, then keep going.
All right. Sounds like we're dealing with two different issues.
I don't think we're dealing with two different issues.
Right, we can take this up. We can take this up. It's more fun. Yeah, Kier, you're...
Yeah, is it clear
baby
that
he's crying?
Not crying.
Oh, that's... Okay.
He's just excited about the Torah. Is it clear that that Mushbah of Omid won't apply if there's a liability and the duty comes into effect later? Like, I guess I'm wondering, I don't know so much about Mushbah of Omid, but is it clear that you need it to chronologically proceed, the duty to chronologically precede the Shavua in order for it to be Mushbah of Omid?
Yeah, it's an interesting question right here. I'm not totally sure about it. Meaning, can you just say, as you're suggesting, that implicit in this Hofeldian power to bind you with their takanos is also this more general duty to obey, right? I think that you could definitely think not. I think you might think that when the kahal makes a specific takana, you're bound to, like, they have the authority maybe to punish you. It's an interesting question whether you even have a duty to obey the specific takana. But Yakir's point is that you might think once they have the power to make rules, implied in that is that there's a general duty to listen to their authority. Right, Yakir?
Not exactly what I was saying, but I mean, I guess I'm curious about that too. But if they have the power to make rules, then it does follow that if they have the power to make rules, you do eventually have a duty to listen to them once they make the rule, right?
That was even then, not always. It's an interesting question.
Okay. Wait, why not? Because what is the rule consistent if it doesn't rely on, what is it making rules? They're not just shouting from rooftops.
Well, it could be a license to punish. It could be a license to punish. And so you might think that the Bezin could say, if you do this, we'll be mafkir your mamon. But it's not clear that that generates a duty to forbear from doing something.
So that position commits you to the view that it's possible for the following to obtain. I can punish you for not Xing, but you have no obligation to X?
Correct.
Infelicitous and counterintuitive.
You think so?
Barry, why would you, on what basis, what does my, presumably the it's unjust to punish people who are innocent. I think.
See, I have a view like this about Dina de Malchusa, but we could talk about, like, you might think that some aspect of Dina de Malchusa is that there's legitimate authority to punish for rules, but not that it creates, like, deontic duties to listen to the rules. But we could,
I think our intuitions about punishment rely on the person being punished neglecting some duty that they have. I literally don't know what punish. Sorry, I'm going to do a definitional stop here. I literally don't know what it means to punish somebody for something other than a neglected duty.
So you don't have to talk about it in terms of punishment, right? It could be to fine somebody.
That's a punishment. All right, anyway, we'll talk.
No, sometimes it's just a deterrent, right? It's to deter people from doing things. So you impose a monetary fine, but there's no wrongdoing.
So that's slightly better. Were the move that I would make in response is to say that, you know, a deterrent because there's some, like, good, some social good that's achieved is what you're saying by people being deterred from a particular, right. So there, what I would just say is you don't have, maybe you don't have an obligation, you just have, like, a moral reason to pursue on the theory that we all have moral reasons or legal reasons, whatever the hell it is, to or social reasons to pursue whatever good we're deterring in the name of. But we're still going to have that any move you're going to make with respect to the legitimacy of force imposed on me is going to have a corollary move on my end. Let me put it this way, to use Bernard Williams' language. Sorry. The external reason that I have to avoid whatever punishment you're going to impose on me intuitively will be best explained by an internal reason that I have to do whatever it is, you know, pursue the social good or whatever. Anyway, talk about this.
Yeah, I think this is conversation when we could see you.
That has nothing to do with anything.
All
right. Anyway, back to the Ron.
Yeah, back to the Ron here. So I think, you know, this, what you're saying, Cole, is very much related to what Yakir is pointing out. I think it's an interesting question. We should all think about it a little more. I want to bring us now what I think is a possible nafgamina to this question about koach hatzibur, and that is even within. So let's assume. So I think there are three possible distinctions, three possible principles we could be pointing to here. One is hefker bezin hefker, which is a koach in mamonis that speaks to like the Torah just centralizing monetary authority in, or authority over monetary issues to tzibur. You're going to forfeit all your nechasim. That shows that ma ha'avos could be manchil libneim kol mashayirtzu. So too the kahal or the roshe hakal could be manchil and tinker with property rights in any way they want. That's one approach you could take. A koach in dinei mamonos. The other approach is this Ramban idea that it's a koach to imacharim from this pasuk with that could carry with it an onesh misa. There's a third possibility, and that is to lean more onto this idea of shalavicha v'yagedcha, the idea of lo sasur, and think that even that resides somehow in the zakenim as just the representatives or the fiduciaries of the constituents that they represent. Obviously, within certain parameters, right? Nobody thinks that the chachamim could do whatever, even if it's a koach chachamim per se, nobody thinks that they could just make wrongs into rights or rights into wrongs in some absolute way, right? You can't replace like basic dinim. But so you might think that whatever koach those chachamim have, it somehow flows from the constituent seaboard that they represent. So I want to draw our attention to these takanos that where Kehilos made a rule that we're all going to follow, let's say, a certain view in Psak Halacha, right? We're just going to adopt the Rambam Shita in all issues. So you have this in the Shudharan, in Simen Samech Beis, is our first example. This is a case of Kiddushin. I don't know if anybody get a chance to read through the tshuva here.
Yeah, right? It's horrible.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, isn't this great, great, horrible narrative, right?
It's like this is a tshuva. So no, I read the Tashbates. Sorry.
Yeah, Zachariah, why don't you tell us about the rotten guy who was, I guess, terrorizing women in the Ron's day?
Yeah, so this fellow, Reuven, as he's up to it again. So he's a Yadua, he's a Ishra, Chote B'chamuros.
Yeah, yeah, and even better, he's before some B'chol HaMakomos that an Ishra, Chote B'chamuros, right? Yeah. Literally like notoriety writ large.
Right. And then he got interested in Leia, but he couldn't seduce her, so he paid off the tsar in the area to, in order, force her to get married to him, and they literally like held her hand open, and he plopped Kedushin into her hand, and then now he's kind of just wandering around, he's not really anywhere to be seen.
Want to do this like Kedasu Kedin, you know?
Right. And then in the meantime, after the Kedushin, the kahal that Leia's living in, they made this kind of takana that everything they do is going to be al pi Rambam. It says Mamonos, Isser Heter, Kedushin. And then...
Yeah, this is interesting. So, as you know, this kahal that he was living in, his Hiskimu b'neihem, v'yasu takana l'snag b'chol dineihem, Minyane Mishpetehem al pi harambam. That was really interesting, right? The chol mashe kasev b'svarav, bein beheter, bein beisser, bein b'dinei mamonos, bein b'nyanei kedushin k'suva v'gittin. Just really, like literally, they just said we're adopting the Mishnah Torah as our binding law, not just for dinei mamonos, right? For all aspects of Jewish law. I guess they didn't care about Zerayim Taros and what's that, Yekir?
To maybe view this from an angle that's not interesting. Gabe and I were talking about this. Maybe like we should view this as like they're like they're hiring Rav, but they just want to be cheap about it. So instead of actually hiring Rav, they're just hiring Mishneh Torah as their posek.
But how can you hire?
How can you hire a Rav to be posed to Paskin for your shul?
Okay. Both of those are excellent questions. I think if you hired a Rav who started picking up his own psakim, you'd be like, what are you doing? Right? You hire a Rav and he's like consistently against what all other poskim are doing. You'd say the guy's like, Tos no, or Tos Shikadat. Right? So the question is, how could you just decide that we're a Chedi Rambam community, right? So halacha kimo Rabbeinu Moshe b'chol makom. Is that a legitimate takana even?
Yeah, I mean, the implication at the end from the tshuva, right, and then ends up being that the issue hangs on the issue of whether you pass like the Rambam about ma'isli, whether you can be kofa for a get or not. And at the end,
yes, says, this is the Rambam's famous position on ma'isli. The question is, when can a woman compel a divorce, right? What can she claim that a bezin will force the husband to give her a get, right? What are grounds for being kofa gerushin? Machlokas Rishonim, the Rambam thought that tainas ma'isli is sufficient. You know, the woman just says, I'm disgusted with him. I don't want to be married to him any longer. That's sufficient grounds for the bezin to compel a gerushin, right? So even though gerushin is generally midas habal, the moment the wife says ma'isli, according to the Rambam, there's a mitzvah lagarish and kofenos lagarish. Other Rishonim don't like that, right? You need something more objective. You need something like he's mukashchin, right? He's got some disease, or you know, he's objectively repulsive. The Rambam's chiddush is that the moment she argues ma'isli, that's sufficient. Gabe, did you have a hand on this?
Yeah, I just wanted to sort of push Akir's point for a second and note that like we're not talking about Chedis and Farakwe. We're talking about medieval Ashkenaz before there's any consensus or halachic process, and there's no code. And so if you're sort of running a town and you need some kind of systematic way of deciding halacha, like this is a very real need. And the Rambam's obviously like the most organized and simplest way to do that. But this doesn't feel like a decision about how the halachic process should develop. Rather, this feels like a utilitarian move to order and organize your city.
I agree. I'm not saying it doesn't have to be an ought, that this is like the right way that every kehila should say, we're a Rambam kehila, we're a Mechaber kehila, we're a Rif kehila, we're a Rimigash kehila, we're a Meiri kehila, right? I'd probably be a Meiri kehila. Nah, I'm not sure. I have to think more about that. I'm not saying that should be like the way kehilos should decide these things. I'm thinking the Gabe more along the lines like come up in this case, right? Everyone knows that the Rambam is a shitas yachid on ma'isli, right? And the preponderance of poskim, I think by any metric of psak halacha, is against the Rambam, whether it's rov, kibas rai. I think the Ran gets to that in his analysis even when he says,
Ruvain himself made the taina. He's like, why are we passing like the Rambam? He's a das yachid. Like it was incredible.
Here, Ruvain pulls out his
remembers his yeshiva days.
That's right. The guy is he's mefursam v'yadua b'chol ha'mekomos and ish ra chode v'chamuros koshkein v'kalos over averus v'parhesia. But he's insistent that we not paskin like the Rambam on this. It's great. So yes, right. So where does Ruvain say this, right? So Ruvain habliyal interrupts the garsha meshiv ki tainasa shetuanas ma'asalai shisvaras yachid b'shar agon eva poskim lo poskuchem. Right, he knows the klali apsak, and even Leah seems to concede this, right? She says shekadai hu aramam lismochal of adam rasha. Right, saying like I agree that like you know it's a stretch to rely on the Rambam here, but you know, in the Shasat Chak Shaini, Kol Shekein Achar Shebir Azoshi Yoshev to also Takana Lis Nagal Pi Rambam Ein Lozes Mimasha Kasa. Right, in conjunction with the argument that the bylaws of the community call for passing like the Rambam. So I think, Gabe, just to respond to your point directly, true that, you know, this is before the Mishnah Berurah, I guess, or before, I guess, the Shulchan Aruch. But it did seem acknowledged by everybody in this case that the Rambam Shitan Maos Alai would not have been the Derech HaMelech, but for the circumstance and but for the communal takana. Do you agree with that, Gabe?
Yeah, I agree with that. Okay.
Yeah. Trying to follow up or? Hey, Zolt, do you have a hand?
Yeah, it seems to me that like the relevant.
Zolt, like you're still home, right?
Yeah, or it was raining and I was lazy today.
See, this is amazing, right? You don't even have to go outside. Mindy didn't want to go outside either. Or it sounded like she didn't want to go outside either.
It was raining, it's annoying.
That's right.
Easier at home.
Zolti was lazy and he has like a 15-minute commute. Imagine eat tomorrow.
That's right.
Well, I have like a 45-minute commute. Back. Yeah.
I actually just got COVID tested yesterday, so once I get my result, I'm going to pop back on campus. So.
Do they have a less invasive way of doing that in America, or do they stick the stuff straight up your schnoz?
It went straight to my brain.
Unbelievable.
So painful.
That's why you didn't understand what I was saying earlier about sovereignty.
That's right. You know, I was going to recite, you know, each person possesses an inviolability founded on justice. And literally the thing went like, you know, right in my... Yeah, whatever. I also got my flu shot yesterday.
Oh, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, there you go. Yoni, you had a comment or?
Yeah, I was going to say that I think what's relevant, I mean, definitely what's happening here is there's a takana. So the question is like, you know, the proprietary, how the takana works. But I think part of the frame we have to use here is like certainly like discussion of like Pesach in general and like the status of like a Mar D'Atra. Because effectively what they're doing is they're, like, paskening, they're making it the karna that, like, the Rambam becomes, like, their Mar D'Atra. And, like, yeah, he's dead, obviously, in this context, but, like, I think that's exactly what they're doing. Like, I think it's effectively they're, like, I think maybe Gabe was saying it, someone was saying it, that, like, they're, effectively, they appoint a posek for themselves.
Yeah, that was Gabe's point, but the question is, can you appoint a posek and say that even Sukkim go against the grain of what everyone else views as.
Yeah, why not? That's the whole Sugya of Mar D'Atra. That's exactly the whole Sugya of Mar D'Atra, that when you see the Sugya of Mar D'Atra, half the examples that Mar gives are specifically like, we usually pask in a certain way, but because you're specifically in the area of Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Eliezer or whatever it is, they pask against the grain. Rabbi Eliezer used to carry on Shabbos because that was
okay. Could be. Okay. I just want to say that then it sounds like the Kahal has this basic power to decide like which halachic views, bein be'isser beheder, bein be'dimamanis, right?
I don't think it's direct. I don't think it's that they can choose that they want to pask in a certain way. I think they can choose who they're.
Well, here they're saying that we're going to say the Rambam. We're choosing that the Rambams are Mar D'Atra.
So, but they can't choose our Rambams or Mar D'Atra for a specific issue of Gerushin in this particular case. They have to choose.
Sure, you can. We'll see other Xeros where they pick and choose, right? They say, why can't they say where the Rambam and Dine Maman is?
Okay, oh. Sure. But then you're on a Tchum. You can't pick though, like a specific like halacha. You can't say like, oh, like Perek Dalet and Isiri Bia, like halacha Dalet, that's where we're going to pass.
There's more of an argument for that.
They're Mar D'Atra. They're just a complex disjunction of different parts of the Rambam, right? It's not the person, the Rambam, right?
Well, I think it's a question of like who you establish as your Mar D'Atra. I think it's much harder to stretch to say that like you can. A specific halachot, like that seems to be very. That seems more problematic to me.
I don't think.
Cole, are you in the witness protection program?
It's just dark down here. I feel as though Itamar is using the coloring on my screen as an excuse for ignoring my argument. Let's hear. I don't think that. So, it could be something about this takana is. We can say something about this takana that's similar to what Rabbi Reese said in his article a number of weeks ago. It might be that Dworkin distinguishes between in an article or a book that I read once and then promptly forgot about, distinguishes between different kinds of discretion that any legal system kind of has to deal with. So there are, and you know, there are like, you know, who do you have authority over within the legal system, for instance? So like, I'll just give you a very modest example. Every Balabus these days is a posek for himself to some degree. Right. I mean, you know, something comes up, is it Isser or is it Heter? They check the Mishnah Berurah but you know, it's not that the Mishnah Berurah tells them that that's Heter. It tells them, it gives them like a definition or an explanation. And then they have to decide, okay, and this fits this. So that's a kind of discretion. That, you know, they've just made a move within the legal system. We're not going to get everywhere on the basis of rules, CF Kripke's book on Wittgenstein. So there's a question about whether in hiring a Rav to Paskin for your community, that's what you might be doing when you do that. What you might be doing when you do that is saying, we are going to trust this individual to decide on the basis of the, you know, accepted standards of PSAC and so on and so forth, how to, we're going to trust him to decide particular cases on that basis. That might be a totally legitimate move, but it's a further move.
I agree. I just want to point out that you're pointing to some fundamental right or authority of discretion that it's either in the aggregate of individuals or just in the kihila as its own entity to decide with its discretion these questions. Yeah. Is serve a hat there? And I just want to ask clearly, yep. I want to point out that's clearly not novea. That's not flowing from Hefker Bezen Hefker. That's not flowing from Kol Chirim Asher Yechram Alad Yumas. It's got to be some other kind of authority.
I agree.
From these two things that we've discussed until now, right?
I agree with that. I'm just saying it doesn't need. I agree with that. It doesn't need to go as far as saying that you can just wholesale accept the Rambam, though.
Okay, but my point here is that the Ron.
I agree with. I agree that it is not that Hefker Bezen Hefker that's doing the work here. It's some.
And I don't think it's Kol Chirim Asher Yechram either, right?
I agree. Sorry, I agree with that. I was mostly responding to Zolti.
Right, so I think this brings us closer into the category of something like Lo Yasur.
I agree.
Whether you have this capacity to determine like the halakhic right and wrongs, I agree, not arbitrarily. But, you know, if you follow the right procedure, it's this power that the Kahal has to decide, we take the Rambam.
Well.
And one second, Cole. And he says, the Ron himself says, and I'll take Gabe's point, with respect to the Tainas Ma'as Alai, he says, Bezem Yirei Hora Ani. I'm a little uncertain about this. Lefisha Ruven Hanizkar Bisha Shekidesh Lo Haya Me'anche Osa'ir. So there's this technical question whether, in order for Reuven to have been bound by the Takana Seir, did he have to have done the Kedushin in the city, or is it sufficient for the purpose of Gerushin that he resides in the city now, and therefore Malas Halai is sufficient? Meaning, is the right moment of being bound by the Takana for Tainas Malas Halai and Gerushin the present when you initiate the Gerushin claim, or the past Kedushin, like all the rules of the Kedushin and subsequent Gerushin will be fixed by the Takanos at the times of the Kedushin. And the Ran says, Miyirei Horani, because Reuven was not a member of that town when the Kedushin was done, and the Braharashus Biyad Lahotze Sishta Meir Lir Kayotzeba, Lefichach Inklach Biyad Anche Oseir Lachofulus Nag Betakanos Seyan. So he's saying there's this just jurisdictional, technical loophole that gets Reuven out of Takana, but he doesn't impugn the Takana on its own merits. It sounds like he's thinking, even if you grant what everyone's assuming in the arguments, Dahainu, the Rambam's a Shitas Yachid, and the only reason to follow the Rambam in this case is that it's the Takana Sakal. Sounds like he thinks that Takana is powerful enough to impose the Rambam's view on all people who are bound by the town's jurisdiction. The reason why Reuven gets out is because he's not bound by the town's jurisdiction because he entered after the Kedushin and he's not really a full member of the town, right? Gabe, you had a thought on this?
Yeah, so I think it's worth thinking through the limits, which you sort of mentioned in passing as a way of understanding the mechanism a little better. So I'd assume you'd agree that the Kahal doesn't have the ability to sort of reread the Gemara and sort of come up with a novel interpretation of the Gemara and collectively decide if they want to pass in like a novel reading of the subject. Would you agree to that point?
What does that mean?
Meaning, I think they need to be following the Rambam. They need to be hanging their hat on somebody who wields halachic authority, which speaks to a process which isn't entirely left up to the Kahal, but rather they're sort of choosing to, and I guess this sort of moves in Yakir's direction, that they're opting to follow a certain direction of the halachic process, but that's not giving complete jurisdiction to the Kahal to decide if sort of their matters. Rather, they are sort of throwing themselves into the Rambam's camp, but not carrying halachic authority on their own.
Okay, so Gabe, I would say, in response to that, I think what I want to say is that I agree that they can't do something that's illegitimate. I guess that's trivial truth. They can't do something that's illegitimate. It sounds like you're assuming that this, you know, a novel reading of a sugya is just illegitimate.
No, let's say it's a good reading. I don't know. It's a brisker kiddush. They made a chakira and paskin halacha differently than everybody else.
Right. Well, then if it's a good reading, then why would it be illegitimate?
So I don't think it's illegitimate. I just think that I wouldn't necessarily assign that power or that authority to the tzibur. I think they would need to sort of follow a halachic authority or somebody who's established as having halachic credentials in order to make those kinds of decisions.
Interesting. I think you're prioritizing like halachic credentials over like halachic legitimate, like the objective criteria that make an interpretation legitimate and valid. Those should govern whether the community's reading its interpretation and a takana based on it is valid, not some measure of what, you know, this other thing that you're referring to. So if it's illegitimate by those criteria, then it's illegitimate. If it's legitimate by those criteria, then it's fine. Sounds like you're just hammering in, or you're shoehorning in this idea of halachic credentials as a necessary condition for legitimate interpretation. That,
I mean,
I agree with Gabe. Yeah. I think it makes a lot of sense. That I mean, like, look, it's possible to make an argument like you're making, but it's definitely possible. But it's not I don't think it's really what's happening here. What's arguing here is that, like, effectively, the Kahal has a right to pick their pussy. Yeah, I mean, not that they have a right to actually adjudicate the law themselves.
Do they have the right to decide what criteria make a posek a good posek?
They're not deciding anything about what criteria make a good posek. They're just picking a posek. The only chiddush here is that when the shul gets together and says, like, we are going to choose to follow the psukim of Rabbi X, Rabbi X can be dead. That's the only chiddush that comes out of this, that comes out of this Iran. I think that's a much less.
Well, I don't think
the fact that Rabbi X in many cases is nidche l'halacha.
Yeah, exactly. That what he
does. But you can do that though. You're allowed to do that.
No. There's a big difference between those two things.
But you can pick a posek. You're allowed to hire a posek who like happens to be a dad yachid on some issues. Like there's nobody ever says like, oh, you can't. No,
that's a different thing. Yoni,
that's exactly what's happening. They're choosing to test with the
Rabbi. No, wrong. That's not true. There's a difference between choosing an authority, okay, which is investing a power in a person. Which authority happens to dissent from, you know, the mainstream on a number of issues, and deciding qua community to dissent from the mainstream on a couple of issues, if we decide that the if dissenting from the mainstream on a couple of issues we decide is an illicit thing for a posek to do. If it's Rav Willig's business if he decides to say, you know, against Rav Usher and a million other people these days, I paskin X when they paskin Y. For the Kehillah of Riverdale to decide after the Rambam has been rejected that we paskin like the Rambam is illicit.
Wait, well, first of all, I'm not sure I agree with your premise, but this case, historically, the Rambam wasn't rejected formally. What do you mean by rejected? Like, the Rambam has a shita, haven't he dat
yet? That's a question. Disagree. So, oh, okay.
He's not formally I'm rejected. Assuming... Like, what do you mean by rejected in terms of, like, the Rambam's
okay, shita? Okay. So hold on. So the discussion is only interest, I should say, the discussion is much less interesting if, like, you know, if the Rambam, if the Shulchan Aruch says, you know, well, there's the Rambam, and then there was the Rush, and I could kind of go either way. The discussion is way less interesting if the community decides, you know, in this particular case, oh we're going to go like the Rambam. The discussion becomes...
That's the case. That is what happened.
Well, sounds like not. Sounds like the Rambam had more or less a Das Yachid against Rav Rishonim. That's different.
Again, Cole, are you suggesting that if Rav Willig has a Das Yachid, then the Kehillah of Riverdale should not follow him? Like...
No, the Kehillah of Riverdale should follow him.
Okay, so why is this case him any different?
Because the reason they're following him is not that it's... No. The reason that they're following him, they're not following him under the aspect of a Das Yachid. They're following him under the aspect of being subject to his jurisdiction. There's a separate question.
Maybe they shouldn't be subject to his jurisdiction on when he's a
Das Yachid. But in fact, there's a principle that... you have to listen to the gadol that you take on yourself. Like there's an authoritarian principle that, you know, that Rav Willig or whoever the Mordasra is has power to decide like what the halacha is.
How did Rav Willig get that power in his shul? How did he get that power that they have to listen to him even if he's a Das Yachid?
The Kehillah gave it to him.
Okay. So what if the Kehillah, instead of hiring Rav Willig, said, we want to give that power to the Rambam?
So I don't think that I think there's a difference between the Kehillah. Well,
see, I'm with Yakir on this, meaning I think Yakir is right that there's no difference between them. But I think in both cases, it's an extraordinary power. You're basically saying that the Kehillah has the right to determine it's like course on Isser Behet there by deciding like which posek, and that's like a legitimate halachic authority they have.
Yeah, I also agree with, well, yeah. So I do think it's egregious. I agree with Itamar about that. I still think there's a difference between the, I don't think Yakir is saying that if Willig has the power, then and he got it from the and he got his status as the Mor D'Asra from the Kehillah. The Kehillah has the power. He said that's transitive.
Yeah,
I'm saying that whoever the Kehillah chooses has the power, whether or not that person is Rav Willig or the Rambam. I don't think the Kehillah has the power to get together and decide to determine us to decide to follow a specific Das Yachid. But I think that the Kehillah has the power to get the Kehillah.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. So now.
Yakir and I are parallel opposites. We both agree that there's no sin between the Rambam.
Yeah, one man's reductio ad absurdum is another man's anachanam.
Yakir thinks that shows that the Kahal never really has the authority. One second. Yakir thinks that in both cases, it's not the Kahal that has the authority. It's just
always the Kohl.
You could choose a postake and the postake has the authority, right? And I'm saying no. In both cases, it's like this kind of self-determination on the Kohl. The Kohl is deciding, it's calling balls and strikes Isser Beheter for itself, Isser Beheter issues for itself by proclaiming whether it's through this in what do they call it? Like this indexical way where they say, whatever this guy through this demonstrative way where they just point to a person and they say, he's our posek, or whether they point to the specific rules in the Rambam and say, these are our laws, or whether they even point to some conjunction, disjunction, some ordering of, you know, Rambam with some Rashba, with some Yiris, with some Chazanishes, with some, you know, Psakim from the Rav. I think any of those, so long as they meet the legitimate rules for whatever makes Psak Halacha valid, that would be kosher.
Yeah, so I think so there might be a difference between, it might be that the, I take back my concession from a minute ago. In the United States, we have it's a well-known doctrine in political. Hold on. You gotta let me finish this.
Fine. Please. Make your point quick. I think we'll all benefit from seeing the other Makoros on this.
All right. I'll be very quick. What Yakira said is not true. It is not, there is no, this power transitivity doesn't exist. For instance, it might be that the United States Constitution has authority because of a certain act of the American people at a certain moment in time. Included in that would be, for instance, the powers of the commander in chief. It does not follow that the American people, though, have the powers of the commander in chief. There is an intransitivity of...
Oh, so because they outsource the powers.
I explicitly deny power transitivity. But Yakir, I was also denying power transitivity, and you were affirming it. Rav Itamar is the one embracing it. Oh, then Itamar, you were wrong about what Yakir thinks. Never mind.
I'm not wrong about Yakir. I think Yakir thinks that the community does not have the power to determine their own, to call balls and strikes for themselves. They just have to hire the umpire.
No, that's what I think.
That's what Yakir thinks.
Oh, we agree on this point.
But Yakir thinks there's no difference between hiring an umpire and hiring the book of the Rambam to do it.
Right. The chiddush is that your umpire can be a book. It doesn't have to be a person.
Right. Cole, so you deny the identity between the book and the person.
Oh, Yakir, that's the point you were making. I also deny the identity between the book and the person.
Okay, one second. All right. My view is that I think the Kehila has the power to call balls and strikes.
That's crazy.
Have the power to pick an umpire to do it for them. And just like they could do an umpire, they could hire an umpire to do it for them. They could hire a book that just, makes all the rules instead of a person.
Yakir, do you agree with what Itamar just said?
How could he agree? Of course he disagrees. He denies that the Kehila has the power.
And what do I say? Where does this leave me? I deny the identity. I accept that they have the power, but deny that it can be a book.
I think that's for you to figure out, Cole. Not for...
Okay. All right. We'll talk another time.
I want to see if Zolti, is that a hand still on this?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to belabor the point. I think we're going to move on. But I was just saying that I think your position is harder to. And then in your position, you're by definition taking a much more mechudash reading of what the power of the Kehila has. Like you're expanding this Ron's case like significantly.
How am I expanding the Ron's case? I'm
well, because could both Kehila, Miguel, but whoever else is in this camp, like just believes that effectively the Kehila has the right to hire a posek, hire a rabbi, which is like not like a huge chiddush in my mind. Like, yeah, the chiddush is like you can hire a dead rabbi, but like you're just hiring a rabbi. You're suggesting though, like there's something that in some ways the Kehila has the ability to actually make a psak, even when the psak right. is...
Because I guess I'm just thinking that... Right. So I'm thinking, what is the koach of the rabbi? Like, what's... Like, when you talk about the umpire, right, let's say the rabbi, like, what makes the umpire good? It's just that he has knowledge of the rules, and so, like, his rulings will be consistent with the canons of legitimate interpretation. But, of course... So you might say it's more likely that the umpire who's trained will call the balls and strikes more accurately. But if the community could incidentally or also work within the canons of like legitimate interpretation, whatever that is, then that would have the same legitimacy. Like it's not like there's nothing metaphysical about the koach of the rav to determine psak. It's just that he has like the training to figure out like the right interpretation usually.
Sure, but then at that point, the Cajal is not working mid-din. It's not like a particular strength of the Cajal, as a question of Sac. Like, I think the significance of our discussion is that you seem to be advocating some type of, like, within the larger sphere of, like, the community's power. They have some type of, like, legislative power. They now have a judicial power as well. And what we're suggesting is actually it's just like the judicial power deciding Psak is really just a question of like standard understanding of Psak. Like a Posse can decide based on his knowledge, based on his acquaintance of the, you know, of the sources, whatever it is. He has a certain judicial power. And so, yeah, like you can outsource that. It can be possible that a community as a whole can have that knowledge, that collective knowledge to be able to make their own Psak. But then it's not coming from a source of the community's power. It's coming from their knowledge of like just being effectively one Posse.
I think you're conflating two separate issues. One is what makes the decision binding on themselves and other members of the community. And the other is how do they know that their interpretation is legitimate or right consistent with the canons of interpretation? And I think I'm interested when I talk about the koach, right? Like it's what makes it binding, right? What subjects the constituents of the community to these to this ruling. Right? How you know that the interpretation is legitimate or consistent with the canons, you know, that's, you know, I guess you could have some review committee of, you know, Chachamim to just look it over and advise the community, right? That's like an afkamina. Like suppose they just hire like Talmidei Chachamim on a consultant basis, right? And they say, you guys don't paskin. You just review our takanos and tell us whether they look kosher from your point of view. But all you're doing is you're like just a review board. You have no halachic, you have no political power. You have no koach of sak, right?
There's, sounds like the Ritz tshuva.
What's that, Gabe?
That's what the Ritz writes in his tshuva.
Oh yeah. So let's take a look at let's move a little forward on these points. So we have a. Shubas of Tash based him in Kuf Tzadivav. There's not much in here that I want to glean from it, except that he also points to this custom that you find in Kehilos of Mikolach Takanos Akol Anudan in Kisvarov. So it sounds like there were like Takanos in a bunch of communities where they just said that Mikolach Takana, we follow the Rambam's rulings. Again, if that extends beyond Dine Mamanis, that would imply that the Koach Hakol itself has to be more than just Dine Mamanis authority. I want to point you to this other tshuva, the Tashbates, again, a Moas Alai tshuva in Beis Reish Nun Vav. So he was asked about whether a wife could compel a divorce based off a Takanas HaKehila Ladon Al Pi Piskei HaRav, meaning the Rambam. Would that include the Rambam's Psak on Tainas Moas Alai? So the Tashbates responds, and I think this is really important based off the past, just the discussion we just had. The Tashbait says, yes, the Rambam says that. V'kvar yadata eichich miru ha'achronim b'zeh. V'karu al ha'kofeshu mar b'mamzeirim ba'olam. So there was like a vociferous disagreement to the Rambam's psak. They said, if you pass them like the Rambam, you're mar b'mamzeirim. V'im kein mihu zeh asher melo libo lasos maisa b'davar. So the Tashbait says, by the way, in my community, we have a similar takana to follow the Rambam, except for a few exceptions. So this gets already to the view that you don't have to accept all the psakim of the Rambam. I had a Rebbe in MTA who had this, you know, oh, if you want to hold like the Rambam, you got to hold like the Rambam in all issues. It just seems strange to me. I think somebody was mentioning that a minute ago, right? That like, oh, you can't just like pick and choose. Like if you're agreeing, like if you're passing the Rambam, you're passing the Rambam in all issues. But that's clearly false, right? I mean, the Tashbates here says that. He says, in my community, we pass in like the Rambam generally. There's a takana to accept the Rambam, except for a few issues, which we don't like. One of them being the Rambam's psak on Din Moredes. And then he cites this tradition that he has, that Vida Kizelo Karla Shloshim Shana, there's a case of Moredes in front of my Rebbe, Moria Kadosh, Ephraim Vidal. Vamrlo Ktsaf Mimanhige Hakal She Yachufa Pisifre Aramba. Right? The leaders of the community said, Bikofe, Kichain Haisa Haskama Sakalahu, Ruchakar Hadavar, Vamrlo Kimiolam Lonasa Maisa Bikhviasham, Does the tzibor even have the power to accept the Rambam's view when there's such a vociferous disagreement about it? No, they don't have. Ki ein hatzibor rasha in lahaskim beinyone ishos mipnei chomer ha'erva v'sheroi lo lagan al piaskamas ha'achronim. Pretty fascinating. He says, you know, generally the Rambam, you could make a takana, but not when it comes to arayos because of the severity of the area of halacha. It's interesting. It sounds like he might concede that when it comes to kashrus, even iser v'heter yoredeya questions, yes. Maybe even hichos nida questions, right? But not when it comes to stricter arayos questions. Interesting question where Nida would fall on that. But then he says, mikal makom zel lechatchila v'alim nasa maisa bimkomo shenoag in al pisvarav kasav arasha ein machzir in hadavar. That's also really important. He doesn't say that, oh, kedai hu arambam lismoch alav b'di'eved. He says, kedai hu arambam lismoch alav b'di'eved in a case, in a place where they adopt his rulings as binding. So it moves the needle a little bit, right? The fact that it's takana to follow the Rambam, at least b'di'eved, but he has reservations about doing so lechatchila in areas of arayos. So what do you think of this? Sounds like there's a concession here that there is some koach hakahal, right? To even an iser v'heter. Arayos is different, at least lechatchila. And he seems to concede the point that b'di'eved, at least on this issue of imniseis lo seitze, the takanas that call it a pasim like the Rambam would be decisive. Yoni, you have a thought on this?
Interesting. Yeah, what's not clear, I think at least, is in this b'di'eved case where there was a minhag, is it that now the minhag in some way strengthens the takana? I think the takana is not strong enough on its own for yoni ishut or erva. But now because the minhag, so the minhag kind of gives strength to the takana, or is it that now the minhag kind of like becomes like a minhag of how we paskin? It has nothing to do with the takana. The takana doesn't have any strength to do with, you can't paskin drawn based on the takana. But once the community's minhag has become, we paskin a certain way, dini erva, so now we can paskin based on the Rambam.
I hear that. The way I understood this line is suggesting that as a piece of evidence, perhaps it's not the case that the community really fully adopted the Rambam in all issues. And he's saying, oh, look, in my town, for example, we adopt the Rambam, chutz mi some issues, Moredes being one of them. In your town, you're right that the Takana says we accept the Rambam on everything, but, you know, we haven't seen anybody ever act on the Takana in this kind of a case. So maybe there really never was das to accept the Rambam's position on this kind of case. That's how I interpret the role that minhag is playing there.
But he seems to be talking about like the limits of minhag. I said the limits of the takana. He seems to be saying that there the low nasa like it was
energy. They don't have the koach.
In which case the minhag then if minhag might not necessarily help with that koach. It might help with something else.
Interesting. It's very possible. It is very possible. I want to get. I want to get this other mucker on the table. We could talk about it in greater length next week. It's a super important mucker. I added these, I think, last night. Did anybody get a chance to see these already, the Rambams? So look at these makoros. I'll just bring them to your attention. You could think about them over the weekend. Cole, you could want to stay for 3 more minutes just to see these life-changing Rambams.
All right. Well, my computer's on life support, so...
Yeah.
Does the Rav bring these in the Avi Mori Shir on the Shnei Sugei Masorah?
Interesting. I have to
a couple years ago.
To find my Shir Mosaic Avi Mori and check.
Say.
So the Rambam here says in his Akdamal Yad Chazaka, he talks about the Gezeros and Takanos that come out of the Gemara. And he says, you know, Ravina, Ravashi, V'chibureyem, Sof Gedol Lechach Me'Yisrael Matikim Tarsh Valpeh, V'shegazru gezeros v'hiskinu hatakanos v'hinhigu minhagos Upashta gzeirasam b'takanasam min hagosam b'chol Yisrael, b'chol makomos moshvasam. Ram here seems to be saying that the thing that makes the takanos and the gzeiros and the hanhagos enacted by Rabbeinu and Ravashi in the Gemara binding is the fact that they were poshet b'chol Yisrael. And then the Rambam proceeds to explain that after Ravashi was mechaber the Gemara, nispazru Yisrael b'chol aratzos pizur yeser v'higiu l'ktzavos v'iyem rechokim v'ripsek tata ba'olam and shtabshu hadrachim b'gayasos. There just never was the same kind of centralized Jewish community anymore that, you know, everybody could be deemed to have accepted the takanos. There's these local centers. And therefore he says, Kol Bezin Sha'amar Achar HaGemara B'chol Medina Medina V'gazar O'Hiskin O'Hinneg L'vnei Medidasa L'vnei Medinos Rabos Lo Pashtu Ma'isa B'chol Yisrael M'pnei Richok Moshvoseyem V'shibosh Hadrachim. And the Rambam proceeds to explain that that's why none of these takanos have binding authority on all Klal Yisrael, including the takanos of the Gaonim. So I think what's striking here is that the Rambam seems to say the reason why the takanos, gezeros, and hanhagos that appear in the Bavli, the reason why they're binding on all of Klal Yisrael is just because they're nispashet b'chol makomos moshvosa, right? They were accepted by everyone. Absent that kind of spreading and widespread acknowledgement of the takana or acceptance of the takana, they wouldn't have the normative force. Rambam says, "Lefikach ein kofin anshe medina zu l'no kemedina acheres." There's no way to impose these takanos on other jurisdictions. The ein omer lebezdin ze ligzor gzeira shagazar bezdin acher medina seinu. So the Rambam here moves away and says that there just can't be this kind of hanhaga or takana that's binding on everybody because it wasn't poshet b'chol Yisrael. And I think that speaks to at least like the acceptance amongst the constituents of Klal Yisrael as some necessary condition for these takanos being binding. It's 12:30. I would just say, I want you to take a look at these Makoros and the Rambam also, which seem to lean in that direction. I'll just mention one more Makar before we stop for today. You know, there's the famous Rambam where he says that in order for someone to be moved, the smicha has to be ish mi pi Moshe Rabbeinu. Cole, you want to stay for 30 seconds. But the Rambam says that you can
be chad a 1% battery, so go.
Okay, so the Rambam says that if you lose that chain, you could have another way of getting smicha. So he says here, far b'yarna b'schila sanhedrin she'ein nikar bezin b'stam el samach b'eretz Yisrael, bein shehaya samach mi pi samach, O behaskamas b'nei Eretz Yisrael, lefisha b'nei Eretz Yisrael, heimasher nikraim kahal. Notice he doesn't say chachmei Eretz Yisrael in Perashat Mishnayos. He just says that you could renew the smicha through the haskama of the b'nei Eretz Yisrael, and it sounds like that would be sufficient. It's very interesting. Interesting question to pursue about where that koach hasmicha derives from, if in part it could be generated simply by the haskamas b'nei Eretz Yisrael, because b'nei Eretz Yisrael heimasher nikran kahal. Sounds like there's just something about the shame kahal that generates the koach hasmicha. To think about it, and let's just close up this whole, let's try to spend like a half hour on Tuesday to wrap up the Rosh Hashanah B'nai year and get started on Zchus Achilas Po Mishab Al Bayis. Sound good? All right, good. Donnie, great to have you back. Gonna push you to lead the discussion on Tuesday, maybe. So take advantage of your presence. All right, Shkach, everyone, have a good Shabbos. So think about the topic. Because there's a lot here to chew over Shabbos. All right, shkayach, everyone. See you next week.